Well, we hope to consider together that portion of God's word we read from Genesis chapter 46 and 47 and see how the Lord faithfully preserves his people, how he cares for them, how he provides for them. And the first thing we see about this is that he does this sovereignly through Joseph. He does this sovereignly through Joseph. Now, that may seem to be kind of an obvious point. We've considered that many times. But the text itself makes this very same thing quite prominent. It's amazing how many commentators, when mentioning this passage, draw a parallel to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. We can see Jacob's response to Joseph. Verse 28 and following of Genesis 46. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct the face, or to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck a good while. Before we consider further the emphasis and the parallel to that passage in Luke I mentioned, notice the good while. They haven't seen each other in how many years? And this is for both of them an amazing impossibility that the Lord has brought to pass. What a blessing that they can now, out of God's faithfulness, weep together and rejoice in one another's presence. And as we can return to our main thought, notice how all this is possible. All this is possible, and more, as we'll see, because God put Joseph in that place. You might think, well, the Lord took Joseph away. That's what led to the problems in the first place. But ultimately, as we'll see, that didn't lead to the problems. That led to the solutions. And by the way, maybe in your life right now you think there are problems. You think there are things that are just totally overwhelming and everything seems to be falling apart. You feel like you've got nothing but problems. This is a statement you have to take on faith, but it's true. They're not problems. They're solutions. It's not something that is meant to hurt you. It's something that is going to help you. You may think it's weakening you, but when you take these things in faith, it will strengthen you. All as we'll see. All as we'll see. But what a blessing that they can cry and weep for a good while. And then note this. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Let me die, for I have seen thy face, for thou art yet alive. Now those words were similar to what he said in chapter 45, verse 28, when he knew Joseph was alive because he saw the carts. And they told him the words of Joseph, this is chapter 45, verse 27, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And in that revived spirit, he said, Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. That statement in 45, which is really the same statement, and a statement made in faith like we see in 46, is very similar to the statement we find in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse 29. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse 29, where we find Simeon, who holds the Christ in his arms. Verse 28 of Luke chapter 2. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That's what Israel, that's what Jacob saw. He saw the wagons. He saw God's salvation. He knew it would be indeed salvation through Joseph as he would bring them down to Egypt. And how ironic is that? Abraham, boys and girls, had went into Egypt and God said, don't go there. But now God is saying, go there. And God has a plan to bring them out from there. That was even prophesied to Abraham. But what a glorious thing here now. He sees God's salvation in Joseph. And he can weep. And he can rejoice. And he can rest. It's through Joseph. It's something we've seen many times. But clearly this is there. And it's all there. According to God's sovereign design. And according to God's sovereign plan. After all, do you remember how this whole thing started? This whole thing started with some dreams. Some dreams, and they were dreams that would cause trouble. At least so it seemed. Genesis 37, beginning at verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. And it goes on and speaks of the generations, how the story now shifts, like we've seen, from Jacob to Joseph. We're told in verse 5, Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. They got a message from God. He received a message from God, and they hated him for it. It's amazing how the world really hasn't changed, has it? Maybe you've even felt that in your own heart. Even for the most holy children of God, the word of God comes and the new man alive in them rejoices, but the flesh hates it. Let alone those who do not know God by repentance and faith or the work of the Spirit. They reject the word as it comes to them. And that is a very fearful thing. Yet he dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, the dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheath arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. But that is exactly what has happened. They have bowed down before him when they first came into Egypt. He has dominion over them. But as is God's way, it's dominion to bring salvation. It's a sovereign power to deliver through the chosen one. And this is not only true of the brothers, this is true of Jacob as well. Verse 9 of chapter 37. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And the brethren envied him. And then note this about Jacob. But his father observed the same. Boys and girls, I don't think he ever stopped observing the same. He always missed Joseph. Joseph was gone. And then when he saw the wagons, he knew the truth. That Joseph was alive and he would be their deliverance and their salvation. That through him, God would preserve them. And the Lord has made him the ruler, practically, of the most powerful nation in the earth. Of the most powerful nation in the earth. We see that's clearly how Joseph thinks about it. His brothers may have meant all that happened in their hatred of God and in their hatred of God's word at that time. They may have meant it for evil. But Joseph knew the true purpose. Genesis 45, verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. What a thing to say. You wanted to kill me. You sold me into slavery. You deceived my father by saying, oh, look, we found his bloody clothes. What do you think? Well, some people may say that's technically not a lie, but what else could it be when you purpose to deceive? But his loving, his gracious, his kind, his merciful character, and his total commitment to viewing things not as they appear, not as how he feels, but as God has viewed them. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. It was God. And then further in verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. It was God. And then lastly, as we'll see further in future messages, Genesis 50, verse 20, he goes so far as to say, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. God is always behind it all, sovereignly moving and delivering his people through his chosen. Hear Joseph. But in the beautiful parallel, so much more than Joseph. As Simeon holds a baby and says, this will be the one to deliver God's people. A baby. Have you ever thought that about a baby? When I've held my babies, what I think of is what I need to do to take care of them. They can't even change their own diapers. They can't even feed themselves. I don't hold the baby in my arms and think, this is my salvation. But that's who our Lord Jesus is. That's who Joseph was to Jacob as they put their arms around each other and wept. He knew Joseph was not only his son he missed so long, but that he would be the one to deliver them. Beautiful parable. So richly bathed in the glorious purposes of God that cannot be thwarted, the salvation of his people, and as we'll see, saving them from destruction and providing everything they need. But clearly, the Lord preserves his people sovereignly through Joseph. But secondly, we see that this work of God is recognized by the greatest of earthly powers. This sovereign work of God is recognized by the greatest of earthly powers. We see this in Genesis 47, verses 7 through 10. Pharaoh is amazingly blessed by Jacob. Verse 7, Genesis 47. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. This man who is living out in the wilderness, who has lost a son, who is given over to depression, who is in need of food, can't take care of himself, can't grow his own food. They need help. So they go to Egypt to buy some on more than one occasion. He comes to Pharaoh, and he comes to Pharaoh being the father of the one who has saved Egypt, who some could argue has saved the world, the main countries around Egypt, as there was, quote, bread in Egypt. And now Joseph, the savior, second only to Pharaoh, brings his father to Pharaoh. And how does Pharaoh esteem Jacob? Because as the book of Hebrews tells us, truly, truly, the lesser is blessed of the greater. He receives blessing from Jacob. What an amazing thing, as Pharaoh recognizes the power of Joseph's God. he saw Joseph and thanked for Joseph because of the interpretation of his dreams. And Joseph told Pharaoh, it wasn't me, it was my God. And it was undeniable to Pharaoh. That's why he gave him the ring and set him in authority. It was undeniable to him that this man was special and that his God was special. There's no evidence of true faith. You can get all that in life from bare reason. But what an amazing recognition. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. What does Jacob show us as he is before this powerful man? Shows us humility. Shows us faith. Shows us a simple peace and resting in Joseph and so much more in God. How else could he bless him? What would you expect Joseph to do? What would you do if you were in Joseph's position? Whether you thought of yourself as Israel, who has wrestled with God and won, who has the right understanding of religion and the right understanding of true doctrine, or whether you think of yourself as a father whose boy has just saved so many people, that your son has risen to such political prominence that he's basically Pharaoh, but not in name. And this is all because of you. You are the father. You are the patriarch to whom the promise has been given. I am Israel, Pharaoh. I am a prince of God and men, and you are nothing before thee. You need my blessing. Look at what my son has done for you and your people. That would be bravado. That would be pride. That would be foolishness. By contrast, what does this man who has wrestled with God and won, who has received such glorious visions of the gospel that Jesus tells the disciples that he is the fulfillment of that vision, of that ladder to heaven? Here is a man who has faced obstacle after obstacle, but the Lord has brought him through. And what is his perspective? The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their pilgrimage. There is a humility. But at the very same time, there is a fulfillment of the very same promises given to Abraham, already unfolding. Turn with me to Genesis 28. Turn with me to Genesis 28. As Jacob is being sent out, what does the Lord tell him? Verse 10, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of the place and put them for his pillows. And he lay down the place of sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heavens. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That last part. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What is happening as he blesses Pharaoh? The nations of the earth are blessed. What is happening as Joseph, through the Lord's supernatural equipping by the power of the Spirit and giving him revelation, what is Joseph doing? In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Outward blessing, certainly. This ultimately points us to the spiritual blessings of the gospel in Jesus Christ. You can't deny that, because that's what that vision is all about. As the Lord Jesus told his own disciples in the Gospel of John. But already there is at least an outward fulfillment as old Jacob blesses Pharaoh. And the nations all around have been sustained by what Joseph has done. What must have that meant to Joseph? What must have that meant to Jacob? Because this didn't start with Jacob. This same promise was given to Abraham. This same promise is given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. No doubt, he heard about this promise. They witnessed this promise so powerfully. As Abram is, or Abram here, is called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now we could consider this further from chapter 22, verse 18, 26, verse 4, but clearly, the nations are recognizing the power of God in Joseph, as we see Pharaoh blessed. The same has been very true. As the spiritual and the physical have manifested themselves, intertwined in God's good providence in this world. You ever pull out a dollar bill and look what's written on it? In God we trust. Historically, in the founding of our country, that was supposed to be the God of the Exodus and the picture of the deliverance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think many people even think about that anymore. But that's who that was supposed to be. There was not long ago, and there's still news about it, the coronation of the most recent king of England. And whether you hate kings or love them, whichever way, one thing was certainly clear. Outwardly, all the pomp, all the ceremony, all the circumstance, as twisted as it was echoing back biblical themes. That doesn't make it right to have a king that way. That doesn't mean the ceremony was right. But undeniably, the influence of Christianity, the influence of Christ and of his word, has had a powerful effect on the highest levels of this world. It's an amazing thing to think and reflect of how Christianity truly has, in that sense, spread throughout the entire world, even to princes and kings. The Lord preserves his people. Maybe you're afraid we're living in godless times. Doesn't matter that in God we trust is on our money, because we really don't care about that anymore. The current king of England's Christianity is a joke, because he said he wanted to be the defender of faith originally, though he took the oath as the defender of the faith. He doesn't believe there's anything distinctive about Christianity, that salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. He thinks all religions are equally valid, that they all essentially teach the same thing. And that is very different than he who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe you think we're in trouble. Persecution is coming. And it is. But the Lord will deliver us. The Lord will deliver us by he who is greater than Joseph. He will provide everything we need. He will save us from destruction. And that is what is happening here in this chapter. They are being saved from starvation and death. Rather than the seed and God's promises to Abraham falling apart, it is through this instrumentality of Joseph, through the instrumentality of the brothers, he will keep his covenant promises and save them. If we look at Genesis 47, verses 4 and 6, that's clearly the emphasis. And they said, moreover, unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. We're going to die. We don't have food. We can't raise our animals. Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee, and the land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. The Lord's provision, brought to a place of salvation, saved from famine, saved from starvation, and the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, are kept sure, even to Jacob through Joseph. Spared from destruction. And this is how Joseph understood what happened to him as well. Turn with me back to some of the passages we already briefly considered, but now to highlight another point. Back to Genesis chapter 28. And our first point is we saw that this deliverance was sovereignly through Joseph. We see it is through Joseph to preserve their life and save them from destruction. Genesis, turn to Genesis 45. Genesis 45, verses 5 through 8. Genesis 45, verses 5 through 8. As he's comforting his brothers. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me. That's what we saw first. For God did send me. Not you, God did. But why? For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. God sent me here. And God sent me here to save you. To save you. Verse 11, same thing. Genesis 45. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. I will nourish you. I will deliver you. I will feed you. I will care for you. I will save you. Turn to chapter 50 again, where we see again the other passage that we saw focused on the sovereignty of God, also focused on this deliverance, that would come. Genesis 50, verses 19 through 21. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. What good? To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. In this passage, so rich, so full, practically, with the reunion of Jacob and Joseph. Father and son reunited, thoughts separated by death. We see Pharaoh, blessed of Jacob, which seems entirely out of order according to the earthly things, but is entirely in order according to God's providential work and his spiritual power as he has placed Joseph in this key position. For what end? To make sure all the promises of God are yea and amen to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. To preserve the seed so that he would have a people. Parallels, I hope, are clear for you and I today. You may think all things are going against you, but the Lord Jesus Christ is on his throne and has promised all things will work together for good. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto him, not just second in command of Egypt. And he is working all those things. Though other people in your life may be selfish, may be foolish, may be hurtful. Though other things may be happening and people may have wicked intent against you. God is using it for your deliverance and your salvation. And it cannot be any other way. God's will be done. And God's will has been accomplished by Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have been saved and we are safe. Many of us know that great story about Stonewall Jackson. Why he's called Stonewall Jackson, though the name properly belongs to the brigade. They asked him, how could you stand in the midst of all the bullets and all the fire, all the challenge, all the death, all the fear? How could you do it? My religious belief teaches me, he said, that I am as safe on the battlefield as I am in bed. He believed in the sovereignty of God. He believed in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed in God's supreme, all-controlling providence. And so must we. If they want to come get us and kill us, fine. If they want to take our homes, they want to take our property, fine. If they want to misuse us, treat us, and abuse us, fine. It's fine. Because God will care for us. God will care for us. What are our lives but his gifts? What is persecution than our privilege? This is the way the Bible thinks of these things. And it must be the way we think of these things. It does not mean we do not have rights. It does not mean there is not a time for rebellion or revolution against unbiblical powers. But it does mean we will be fine. We will be preserved. Because God preserves his people. Very clearly, that's how he used Joseph. That's what our Lord Jesus has done. And that must be our great hope, always. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, our great Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy wisdom. And that truly is, Lord, a wisdom that transcends our own. Help us to hold fast to the promises of God, to hold on to our Savior, Jesus Christ, to know that for the sake of Christ and his work, that thy covenant has been fulfilled and thou wilt preserve us. Remember those, Lord, going through especially hard times, even hard times others may not know. Grant them a felt sense of thy presence. And help us, Lord, in all we're called to do, to especially in prayer, cast our cares upon thee, knowing that thou doth care for us. We pray for thy further blessing through this day. We pray for thy care over Brother Steve Manette, for our brothers and sisters in Conway, for thy blessing upon the catechism class and the Sunday school, the sermon discussion. And truly, let us rest in Christ. Heavenly Father, forgive our sins, and we pray it in Jesus' name alone. Amen.